Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, titled, The Full Assurance of Understanding. This is part 2 of 2.
It hits the ground, it shatters on the highway. Went to the next exit. Turned around. Went right back to the place I had rented it from. I hadn't been gone 5 minutes. And pulled up, and is there a problem? I said, yeah, you might want to look at the top of the roof of this car here. And he, what in the world? And I told him what happened. They called the police. We had to stay there another hour and a half, 2 hours, give a report. They got us another car and all this. And I don't know why, I just chose to see it for what it was. I could have died. I said, thank you, Lord, that the punk that did that had bad timing. And I thought, who knows? Maybe that happened. The Lord, had that happen so that I'd be, held back from driving down the road when I was going to, because I could have maybe got killed instead of just having my car damaged. Who knows? We don't always know for sure, but one thing I do know, I'm just going to trust Him. So why get all hot and bothered about it? And besides, insurance covered it. Amen? That helps. I love this little thing here. There's a picture of the Bible, and it says, this is not a bag of trail mix. You can't just pick out the pieces you like. What are those little round, dark rye? I think they're little rye chips. And they've got a little bit of a real salty... I love those. If you let me, I'll pick those out. You won't get any of them. Amen. But the Bible's not supposed to work like that. And I just know people who avoid certain parts of the Bible, or when they come across something, they'll just, oh, okay, let's just keep going here. Like a speed bump instead of a truth. It's like, boom, boom, keep going. Boom, boom, okay, just keep going. Let's not pay attention to what I just ran over. Boom, boom, boom. That's how they read their Bible. Mm-hmm. Not supposed to work like that. So, our only source of true lasting comfort is God. God gives comfort through His words. Amen. And God's Word works in you by the presence of what? His Spirit. His Spirit in you. If you're saved, you've been baptized by one Spirit into His body. You are now sealed. You have His Spirit in you. You are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. His Spirit in you. Turn over to John chapter 14, beginning verse 15. And I love what Paul says about the Spirit and all the epistles and the book of Revelation. But there's just something I love about listening to Jesus talk about His Spirit that would come after He ascended to heaven. And He's talking about that here in John 14. And verse 15 begins by saying, if ye love Me, keep My commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Prophecy fulfilled. He has given us the Comforter. Began with the outpouring at Pentecost. Verse 17. Even the Spirit, capital S in your Bible, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Read verse 18 with me. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. When you got saved, Jesus Himself came to you in His Spirit. And He comes into you. And we've talked about that at length recently before, but you do still have you in there. Your sinful nature.
You have to do battle against yourself. But as you learn His Word and learn of His Spirit, you learn more and more to give things over to Him. To let Him drive. To let Him guide. You get peace. And you'll have peace going through even the most difficult situations if you can learn to do that. But notice I'm using the word learn. It's something that you have to put into practice. And you don't want to wait. I call it soap opera faith. You don't want to wait till everything falls apart and then that's when you choose to start a prayer life. Now you should be in prayer daily and walking with the Lord. And then when something happens, you don't have to look God's number up. You already have the connection. Amen? And He will not leave you comfortless, but some Christians will say, well, where was God? I didn't feel or sense His comfort. I'm not going to look at you and blame you in those kind of situations, but it's been my experience that was my fault. When I've wanted the comfort that I didn't happen to have in that moment, I can look in my own life and I can see that I'm the one who moved away. I'm the one who broke the connection. Now, it is true, though, He's still there even though you're not feeling Him. You don't base it on feelings. But if you're not used to living in the truth and walking in the truth, then those feelings aren't going to come. Even though it's a fact that He's there. And He will carry you. And a lot of times it's down the road and we look back and we look and say, oh, I can see right there. He carried me right there. I can see that. But in the moment you can feel alone even at the times He's carrying you because you haven't been walking in the comfort of the Lord and you're not really even sure what it feels like. And that's, I love this when He says in verse 2, back in Colossians chapter 2, being knit together in love. Being knit together in love. And it's interesting that Mary Lynn would talk about this morning before the rest of you started rolling in. She's talking about how years ago they talked about how they could take a heart and basically take away all the flesh. And then what was left, what would you call it? A scaffold. It was like cartilage that makes the heart stay together and work and function. Well, I remember seeing something about that a long time ago. But you know, when I think of the heart, I don't think of that. I think of what I see. The heart looks like a big old muscle. So that's what it is. You watch one pump, you know. You don't see that scaffold. But inside all that muscle and everything in your heart is that scaffold. It's got everything knit together. That's how your physical heart functions. That's how your spiritual heart will function too if it's a healthy heart. And the scaffold is the love of Jesus Christ. The scaffold holding your spiritual heart together is really understanding what Jesus did to save you and all that He's done since then. And every bit of it is motivated, moved by His love for you. Something about knowing when someone loves you. Looking someone in the eye, you know they love you. And in prayer, and in Bible reading, and in witnessing about Jesus, and walking in the Spirit, you're looking in the eyes of Jesus in the Spirit. And it just will strengthen you and build you. It's not a zap. It's a daily thing, but it is spiritual. It's not as easy as just showing up on Wednesday and eating a bunch of pizza. That'll satisfy your appetite physically. But with God, it's not. I shouldn't even say it's not as easy. He's made it easy if you just do it. The hard part is your will. The hard part is making it a priority. And the hard part is just making it a practice. But that's the thing, is the motive matters. If you're not motivated because you're so in love with Jesus, and you know how much He's in love with you, you don't have the right motive and you're going to get tired of it. It's like going to work. People say, oh, I go to work because I love my job. I've never done that. You know why I go to work? Payday. And if I stop getting a paycheck, I'm not coming back to work. And that's kind of the way in the spirit world that works. Your payday, your paycheck, is the love of God and the experience that you can. You don't base things on experience, but the experience comes. And that's what it means to be knit together in love. And if you're busy loving others, you have less time to be focused on your own problems.
Amen.
Amen. I've known people with pets that they pour themselves into those pets when they're home. And then they go to church, or as they're able, they get involved in ministry, and they're always doing something for something or somebody. And if they couldn't come home to a pet, they'd go crazy, because there'd be no one or nothing there to serve. That's a great attitude. I have to admit, I could probably get along without a pet. Because I'd come home and serve, my pets would be books, you know. But I have to tell you, I love coming home to a pet. My family will tell you, I was driving force behind the puppies we've had and everything. So I'm sure that if I don't ever want to be alone, but if I was ever living alone, the Lord took Jenny out of here, not in the rapture. I'm going with her in the rapture. But if the Lord took her out of here before me, I'd probably have to have a pet. Because they are such a joy, but a lot of the joy is in taking care of them. Jenny sits over there with Sebby, and she's just clipping him and taking care of him and doing this and that. And you just look at it, you see the joy on her face. But I'm glad to say that when I look at her and say, hey, Jenny, could you get me a cup of coffee? She doesn't say, get it yourself. She has a joy in doing that for me, for serving. And then I enjoy doing things when I can for her. Right now, it's a rule. When she cuts the grass because of the problem I have with the grass. But I open the garage door because it's broken. I have to do it manually. And I'm still the man. And I'll be honest, just like a little kid. I saw her out there one day trying to do it. I'm running out there putting my shoes on. No, 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 no. And I got there and I lift up that air. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
And if you can learn to live off of that, you're being like Jesus. None of us are ever going to be Jesus, but you want to be something like Him? Mimic Jesus? Be about everybody else. Serving, serving, serving. Love is charity. We think of giving when we think of that word charity. And charity is supposed to be the basis of love. I got to do this real quick. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. This is a passage that we quote all the time for weddings. But it's more than just a quaint little passage for weddings. It's infallible truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll read beginning of verse 4. I'll start reading as you turn there. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. You're reading God's definition of love. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. That's why it's so terrible when there's domestic violence or verbal abuse among couples. It's terrible. Seeketh not her own. That means you're not about yourself. Self-sacrifice. Is not easily provoked. You know, I'm eating and I drop a crumb on the floor. Jenny doesn't yell at me and say, "Get the vacuum cleaner out of it." She's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, and rejoiceth in the truth. Read verse 7 with me. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Boy, if we could have that kind of love for the Lord. He has that kind of love for you. Back in Colossians 2, I love the way that verse ends, and that's where we get the title from the study. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. There's just nothing like that full assurance that comes with understanding God's truth and promises. Nothing like it. If you rob yourself of it, then you're robbing yourself of the peace that we talk about that passeth all understanding. You're robbing yourself of the confidence you should have in life. Confidence, you hear a lot about that. A lot of motivational speeches and videos and things about being confident. Just think positive and you can do it. And I'm sorry, but that's not true. And if any of you don't believe me, we'll go out back and then I'm going to watch you fly. Because according to that, if you just had enough confidence, you could fly. That's not the truth. But confidence, in a legitimate sense, enhances performance. It's true that if, whatever you're doing, like getting up here and speaking, I've done this for years and it doesn't bother me at all. But there are some people, you put them up here, their knees shake, and they'll go out back and vomit and come back in and try it again, you know, that kind of thing. But confidence can enhance your performance, no matter what it is, just as understanding enhances our assurance. A lot of Christians who have their doubts, it's just because they have not exercised their discernment by growing in the Word of God. And the more you grow in the Word of God, the more assurance you are going to have. You're not going to always be doubting whether or not you're saved because you said a dirty word or something. What you ought to do when you say a dirty word is repent. And turn to God and say, "Lord, I do not want to talk like that. Help me stop." It's not about salvation. It's about your relationship with the Lord. Gloria is getting old enough. She heard her daddy say something. It wasn't a cuss word, but she said it. It was something you don't want your kids just blurting out. Won't get into detail. But, what? I thought you said something. And we laughed about it. Because it's cute when a kid does that. But they had to make her understand, don't say that. Say this. And that's just the way God's going to work with you. They didn't threaten Gloria and say, "You do that again, young lady, you're out of the family." That's how a lot of Christians, that's the kind of teaching they get. And so they never have any assurance. Why? Because those churches don't really teach the Bible. That's why the pastor is as ignorant as anybody else up there. And if he did understand the Word, he would understand what it means to be saved. He would understand that when we make mistakes, we commit sins, God's not booting us out of the family, but He's going to chastise us. And that's real. So our understanding will enhance our assurance. Another way of putting it is understanding increases assurance, which produces confidence and gives us a great sense of comfort. That's a mouthful, but that's the way you should understand these things. So in closing there, verse 2 ends by saying to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. It's all about knowing God in and through Christ. That's why we're not trying to be mean, but Jesus is the only way. And you're never going to know God unless you go through Jesus, who, according to verse 3, read that with me, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus. Not Muhammad. Not Buddha. Not Greg Miller. Only Jesus. He's amazing. Get to know Jesus. I mean that in a real sense. Get to know Jesus. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. And talk about Him. In this closing thought with C.I. Scofield, he said, the mystery of God is Christ. Christ as incarnating the fullness of the Godhead and all the divine wisdom and knowledge for the redemption and reconciliation of man. That is a mouthful. And that is truth. The mystery of God is Christ as incarnating the fullness of the Godhead and all the divine wisdom and knowledge for the redemption and reconciliation of man. We will never fully grasp all that there is to know about Jesus. It's impossible. But the more we do grasp and understand, the more full the assurance that we can live with. 1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us a what? Understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Let's sing about it in page 255 in our hymn books. Blessed Assurance. The bottom line is, as our musicians come and get ready, the bottom line is for believers to get this one basic truth that, as I said, little memes and calendars, sayings, everything aren't enough all by themselves. But sometimes we can grab a hold of one of those and really plan it for future reference. Know Jesus, know peace. And actually that works both ways, whether you spell it K-N-O-W or M-O.
Right.
If you do not know Jesus, K-N-O-W, you'll have no peace. Know Jesus, N-O. If you don't have Jesus, no, N-O, peace. It really is that. But it's more than just saying, oh, I'm saved. Well, praise the Lord for that. But it's more than that. It's knowing Him. It's getting to know Him in His Word. Getting to know Him by walking with Him. Praying. Talking about Him. You'll have peace. I don't know what's going on in all your lives. Thank God. I can handle. I have enough with my own. You know, me and Jenny and the loved ones we have. My plate's full when it comes to that kind of stuff. That's why you can thank God that you don't have to come to some Father Greg. You don't need a priest. You need Jesus. There's one mediator between God and man, and His name's not Greg.
Amen.
Or Father anybody.
Amen.
It's Jesus. And so I'm not here to pull you into some kind of relationship with me, although I'm hopeful we can have a good relationship, a good friendship, brothers and sisters of Christ. But I'm here to draw you into that relationship that I have, that I'm working on in my own life with Jesus.
Amen.
And to encourage you to become not self-sufficient, but Christ-sufficient. To realize that on your own, you're going to have trouble. You're going to struggle to just make it. But with Jesus, you'll have the assurance to live life confidently in the promises of God. And that's what this song is. A wonderful song by band card. Let's sing it. Bless the church. You can stand if you would.
Bless the church. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a broad taste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, born with His blood. This is my story.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We are just so thankful for the truth that you have given us in this King James Bible that we can carry with us in our hearts as we hide your word in our hearts. That we can take with us in our hands, whether we have a Bible hardback or we have a Bible app. These days, we're blessed with so many ways to have your word with us. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the comfort that we have. That it's not an empty promise. It's a promise from a God who never lies. A God who never fails. And we just look forward to being with you. In the meantime, Lord, help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Happy birthday!
We have food, but we also have cupcakes.
Yes.
And we only had one birthday in August. And he was supposed to be gone. So we went ahead and waited till now, and he happens to be with us this week, not next. And he's going to be gone. So we have the cupcakes this week for Brother Sean. And what was your birthday, Sean?
August 19th.
August 19th. And then Jenny will be turning 30 on the 7th. 30 plus, fill in the blank, I'm not going to do it. And then I will be turning 48. 49, yeah, you're